Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
Like, hey, do you want to play some really silly shred music?
It's not funny in a way where there's any sort of victim. It's that thing where you go, sweet.
It's a permanent smile on my face when I'm playing with this band. It's always just having a good time.
Fun, melodic, instrumental, progressive rock with hints of metal and Nintendo-era video game music.
That's a lot.
A lot of the references people had were like, staying up all night drinking Mountain Dew.
I feel like I'm fighting a boss right now.
Yeah,
that's a description we get.
Oh, this part's the boss level.
Yeah, of course.
I'm Sarah Fenske. The St. Louis band Thorax just released its debut album today. And that may surprise you if you've been a fan of their work. After all, the band first started playing and writing music together 13 years ago. They've played off-Broadway many times, as well as the RFT Music Festival and the Cherokee Street Music Festival. They've even opened for The Sword and Andrew WK. So what took them so long to release an album? Well, put that aside for a moment and just enjoy the fact that it's here. And that is the band Thorax with the track Galactic Violence. It's from its new album Solar Rips, their first in 13 years of playing together. And joining us now are two of the band's guitarists. Ryan Wasaba, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And Phil Ring, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So, Ryan, you guys started this band as something of a side project.
Yes.
This was for the beloved St. Louis indie rock band So Many Dynamos.
That is correct.
And you were part of that band.
I was part of that band up until the year 2009. And we started the band. We actually started it 15 years ago. It's even worse.
Wow. My math is bad here.
But we started it in 2007. So Many Dynamos was a really serious band. We were always touring. And so we started this as a fun side project. But we were never really able to take it extremely seriously because So Many Dynamos was touring all the time.
Yeah, you guys were busy.
Yeah, we were.
Is that part of why you wanted the side project, something that wasn't quite so serious?
Absolutely, yes. And also, there was a functionality to it because part of our touring was, you know, people would do favors for us in other bands by helping us book shows in their city, and then we would try to help them with a show in St. Louis. But So Many Dynamos couldn't play all those shows, so having another band we could put on those shows was sort of a nice workaround for that.
Okay. So sort of a release valve for just how popular So Many Dynamos was. Yeah, a little bit.
That's right, yeah.
Phil, how did you end up getting involved in this? You were not part of So Many Dynamos.
No. I have known Ryan and other parts of the band since we were about 13 years old, 14 years old. We went to high school together, college together. So we've always had kind of a shared affinity for guitar and all those things like that. And it kind of came together when they started putting the idea together for Thorax. It was like, hey, do you want to play some really silly shred music and make
That's
a
the
fun...
pitch, really silly shred music.
Yeah,
essentially. Part of the writing process initially was, I think the question was, is this funny? And if it was funny, if it made us laugh as far as a part goes, then it usually made it into a song. So that was part of the original kind of pitch for the band. It's like, yeah. It sounds like a great time.
So this is kind of an alien idea to me because I'm a word person.
Yeah.
And this is an instrumental band.
Yes.
How does an instrumental band be funny?
I don't know. There's a thing, like something I always think about is sometimes if you see like a jazz group play and somebody, you know, plays something and everyone goes, Like there's that kind of thing. And yeah. I think that's sort of, there's just something it's not funny in a way where there's any sort of victim. It's that thing where you go, sweet.
Yeah, there's a little moment that kind of seems off kilter in a way that's amusing.
Right, and there's something about when one guitar goes like, da-da-da-da-da-da, the other one goes, na-na-na-na-na-na, at the same time. That's just, it's awesome and it's hilarious in a way that's kind of hard to explain. But
yeah.
that's sort of, capturing that was sort of the impetus for Thorax. I remember when the first time we played together, we kind of had a song written almost as like a experiment to see if this band would make any sense.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of learned the song on their own. And I remember we got together when everyone in So Many Dynamos was living in a house together. And Phil came over and Kyle came over. We ran through the song for the first time, got through it. And afterwards, it was over and we were all just like cracking up. But it was also like, all right, we're onto something. This is worth doing.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah.
And that was Birthquake. That was the song.
Well, actually, this is the perfect cue because we were going to play Birthquake today. So
fun.
If you're going to talk about Birthquake and how you're cracking each other up, I want to know how many people out there listening to this are going to end up just laughing really hard to this. So let's play Birthquake. This is the first song that Thorax wrote, and this was 15 years ago.
Yep.
So that is Birthquake. That is the first song from Thorax. They first played it for each other 15 years ago and were laughing hysterically. It is putting a smile on my face.
Yeah,
great.
It feels like you're kind of cracking yourself up with some rock stereotypes here.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, a lot of it has been that kind of thing where it's like, the funny aspect is more so, like, in what kind of way can we, like, make ourselves laugh in a joyous way? Like, the band is just about having a not so serious time with stuff, because Dynamos was a very serious band. The other side project, or not the main project bands with the other members, it's also very serious. So this is kind of a place where those things that we took from the other bands that we were in, we can kind of just not worry about, this is the serious side of us, let's just have fun. And in turn, it ends up being serious in its own way.
Yeah.
But it's still just like, it's a permanent smile on my face when I'm playing with this band. It's always just a fun time. And whether it's funny in a traditional way or not, this is like, it's just having a good time with the fun.
And so you're able to carry that over in song after song. It wasn't just like you sort of struck lightning on this first one.
Yeah. I think there were, there were parts of songs. I think the band has gotten more serious over the years, and there are. And that's one of the interesting things about the band. It's something that I've kind of run into because I've sort of tried to take the lead on promoting this because we've worked on it for so long that it's, you know, like, oh, I guess we gotta, you know, try to promote it and do the whole thing where, you know, the whole modern way of trying to get people to hear the stuff.
Yeah,
and it's the thing that I keep finding interesting is that the way that you would describe the band in sort of traditional sort of press music things makes it sound really heady and masculine. And it's because, I mean, technically it's like progressive metal with, you know, it's just like these, with all these hyphenated things that sound not fun at all. And
well,
so it's been tricky to get, you know, like every time I've submitted us for, like, for example, for like a metal blog review or a Spotify playlist, it's been like, no, you guys are not.
It's not heavy enough.
It's not heavy enough.
It's not.
It's not.
I got got to tell people how you described yourself in your email to me, which caught my
note.
I thought this fun, melodic, instrumental, progressive rock with hints of metal and Nintendo-era video game music.
That's a lot.
And honestly, it kind of perfectly described it.
Yeah.
I mean, did you go into it going, we want to riff on that Nintendo video game music?
Yeah, actually. That's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge influence on the band, and also with some friends of ours that the Dynamos guys have known for a long time in this band called Bit Brigade, who actually play video game music, literal Nintendo video game music. And it's always just been, we all grew up with it. It's always been kind of in our DNA as just like people. So sneaking it in kind of fun ways has always just been part of the band. So the more video gamey it can be at times, it's like, okay, this is the sound that works really well with three guitars, bass, keyboards.
And especially with Kyle, Work, our synth player. Actually, both of the clips that you played really heavily featured Kyle, and his contribution to the band is great. And and his just that tonal palette of having synth really helps with sort of having the sonic cue of that sort of nostalgic video game sort of.
He's also the consummate gamer in the band, so he let us know when we're on a right path for
that is true.
Striking the right chord with
very important.
Oh, yeah.
Are there sort of specific video games that he's like, yeah, this is the one that we're...
I don't know.
He's really into Chrono Trigger. I think
Chrono Trigger.
But a lot of the classic, you know, SNES, 8-bit, 16-bit games, that's kind of the bread and butter. Yeah, and that for everybody. It's funny enough, those things really work in the realm of kind of harmonized guitars and things like that, where melodically it makes a lot of sense. So again, coming back to just being fun and it conjuring up kind of video game nostalgia is...
Like sitting... I showed it to some people, and a lot of the references people had were like staying up all night drinking Mountain Dew.
I feel like I'm fighting a boss right now.
Yeah,
that's a description we get.
Oh, this part's the boss level.
Yeah, of course.
So I think sort of the surprising byproduct of these influences and what you guys are trying to do here is it sounds like music that kids would really enjoy too. Do you find that you have some young fans?
Yeah, that's something that was kind of unintentional, but I think is the result of the fun aspect. But we've noticed that people will bring their kids to our shows. Like, not a lot, but I've never experienced that with any other band I've been in. And I think I think part of that is just sort of the fun element. But I think part of it actually is also the instrumental element of it. Because, you know, I know some parents are still concerned about, you know, what words are my children going to hear or something like that. But I think it also lends a universality?
Yes, universal. That is a word.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
It's a five-star word right there.
Oh, nice, nice.
There you go, Ryan.
Thank you. It's funny because I think musically, not having vocals adds a universalness to it because, you know, one thing I've always thought is if this band had a singer, like, what would they do? It would have to be someone who's you know, like a Ronnie James Dio, like, real, like, singer, or someone who's screaming. And I think either way, it would sort of limit what it can be, but it would also make it about something, because there would be lyrics.
Yeah.
And I just know the lyrics would be dumb.
We would not do as well with lyrics.
It's better without words.
Yeah. It's better for something to... for a song to make you think of fighting a dragon than for somebody to say it's about fighting a dragon in the lyrics.
This is implied here. Yeah. So look, I have to ask, because we've talked a lot about the music here. Now we just have a few minutes left. Going 15 years without recording an album for a band that has had this kind of success, it's a little unusual. And I know it's a kind of complicated story of the twists and turns of this. But what would you say, what led you to say at this point when you guys were like, let's do an album. Let's finally do an album.
Well, we were actually about ready. We took about 4 years off because we started in 2007. I left the band So Many Dynamos in 2009, and Thorax kind of ended at that point a little bit. I think we played one show afterwards, but that's not really important. But I was still friends with them, but just not ready to play shows again. I remember we actually went to a So Many Dynamos show, and afterwards, Aaron, who's the singer in So Many Dynamos and the rhythm guitarist in Thorax,
chair
I just feel like it's
three.
Fun. Chair three guitar.
Yes.
One of our jokes is that Phil is first chair lead guitar, I'm second chair lead guitar. Aaron kind of pitched to me afterwards, hey, why don't we get Thorax back together? And I hadn't thought about it in years. I was like, yeah, let's do it. So,
yeah.
So then, you know, played a few shows. We actually, I looked it up this morning. We started recording in 2017.
So this has been a long project for y'all.
Yeah. And part of the challenge of it is that, you know, just that fact of coming back to it being a side project is that, you know, I think your band in life is already kind of your second priority because you have to live and, and, you know, have a quality of life and do the things that provide for that. And that's very rarely your band that provides those things. So then having that and then a second priority of the second priority being sort of your side band. So what took it so long was that we ended up doing about one person's, we didn't record live altogether. We recorded, we pieced it together. And it was pretty much one person's part per recording session per song.
Wow.
So there's six people in the band, there's eight songs. That's 48 recording sessions, sneaking in basically on evenings and whenever we could. So that's really why it took so long. We were about ready to pull the trigger on the record in early 2020.
I guess instead of asking what took so long, I should say it is amazing that you guys pulled this off. And so now you're ready to release it to the world. We should share. You're going to have this album release party. This is Friday, May 26th, a week from today.
Oh, 27th.
Sorry. Boy, my numbers. that's at Off-Broadway. We have details at stlonair.show. And this album is now released to the world.
Yes.
You can also find that linked on our website. That album is Solar Rips by the band Thorax. This is an album 15 years in the making. Ryan Wasaba, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you so much, Sarah.
Us. And Phil Ring, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Those are two of the many guitarists of Thorax. Let's go out of the show with just a tiny bit more Thorax. This is Dad for a Day. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Kayla Drake, Danny Wisentowski, Emily Woodbury, and Alex Hoyer. The audio engineer is Aaron Dorr, and our intern is Avery Rogers. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah Fenske. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.